You're tuned to KCBX Central Coast Public Radio here on NPR One. With KCBX News, I'm Tyler Pratt. San Luis Obispo County is preparing for an employee strike. For the first time in its history, SLOCIA, the county's largest employee union, plans to strike Tuesday through Friday. The county and union have not been able to agree on current and future wages and benefits. I recently sat down with San Luis Obispo County's manager and met with a SLOCIA member to learn more. First up, it's Wade Horton, the county's administrative officer. He's responsible for making recommendations to the county's board of supervisors and then implementing the board's directions. He also manages the county's budget. I met with Horton at his office in the San Luis Obispo County Government Center to find out more about why county officials are not budging in negotiations for the current financial year, the state of the county's coffers, and what they are offering employees in 2020. At the time of this interview, the two sides had just agreed on defining essential employees.
So we've reached agreement with SLOCIA on who essential employees are that are required to maintain health and safety in the county. It's about 160 people, and those individuals will not participate in the strike.
Okay. What are some of those positions?
Positions associated with jail services, social services workers, folks that are that would have the responsibility of interacting with the public in any type of health and safety position, positions such as water and wastewater treatment workers, that it's really important for us to keep our water and wastewater treated and safe, positions such as those.
How did y'all come about this list? This is a first time a strike's happened in the county. Did this list already exist? Did y'all have to create this list? Kind of walk me through the process.
Sure, we had to create the list, and we talked to the department heads, and first we determined what services were essential for public health and safety, and then what would be the minimum staffing requirements in order to maintain those services.
Okay. So initially, there was some talk of possible like legal action with SLOCIA, and they didn't agree with the list. Kind of what was happening there?
We had to work through the list with SLOCIA, and we came to agreement how many people would be required to maintain services. And I'm glad that we were able to work with SLOCIA to work through that issue so we didn't have to go to court. We're going to try to minimize shutdowns and disruption of the public as much as we can. We don't know, as of now, we're not certain of how many SLOCIA employees will strike. We just know that a minimum of 160 will not strike. We'll have to determine what the disruption of services could be when the strike occurs, and at that point we'll have to determine if closures are required.
What was some of the thought process behind sort of announcing the dates to the public of the strike?
It's a requirement that the dates that the union lets us know when the dates will occur so the county can adequately prepare for the strike. And we were able to come to an agreement on those dates, the 11th to the 14th of December. How many days within that window SLOCIA will actually strike, I don't know, but we're assuming it's going to be, we're preparing for 4 days.
So what's next?
Once the strike's concluded, we're still one team. And at that point, I'm looking forward to getting back to the negotiating table with SLOCIA. We've offered to SLOCIA to start bargaining as early as January for fiscal year 19-20, and I'm looking forward to doing that.
Okay. So you said that's, which you said at the end of your release, over 19-20, which is, that is the year that kicks in June?
July 1.
And that's the year that really is the stickler for them and for y'all. You said it was that y'all were offering the 0.5.
That's for this current fiscal year. The 0.5 for this current fiscal year, that was my understanding, is that is why SLOCIA was dissatisfied, and that's why they're striking. We reached tentative agreement with SLOCIA over a two-year period, FY19 and FY20. SLOCIA took that tentative agreement to their membership, and their membership voted it down. So the county moved forward and imposed FY19, which was the 0.5%, and then cafeteria benefits, which is essentially health benefits. We increased the health benefits. SLOCIA was dissatisfied with the initial offer, then they were dissatisfied with the imposition, and so they decided to strike. But legally, we can only impose 1 year of a two-year deal. So FY20, which would be 1920, so would start on July 1st, 2019, and conclude on June 30th, 2020, that's a period that we still can go back to the negotiating table with. Year one's closed. We've concluded negotiation for year one. That was when the board imposed the 0.5% with the benefits increases. That was year one package, and we're not going back to the negotiating table on year one. Year two, we still have to work things out.
Okay, so walk me through the issues that the county's facing in the upcoming year with budget gaps and stuff like that.
We just went to the board for this upcoming year, and the forecast that we presented to the board, we have to close about a $5 to $10 million gap. And then we'll know more of what that gap looks like in the first, right around February, we'll have a better idea what that gap looks like, because they're based on a number of assumptions. So we can close that gap, but it's also an opportunity when you look at budgeting for wage increases. Those wage increases need to be considered with all the other services that the county provides. And they need to be taken and considered together when we're formulating the budget for the next year. When you look back at year one for this agreement with SOCIA that wasn't ratified, that increase was not budgeted for. So that's why it was only 0.5%, and it was backloaded. The deal was backloaded to 2% in the second year.
One of the things that SOCIA said is that they went through impasse and then a fact-finding mission, and they found that the county can afford this 3% raise. And so that this is one of their talking points, that that it's possible for the county. So what would your response be to that?
Well, one of the things the fact finders looked at, though, is they looked at the status of the county reserves, and we have reserves for a reason. We have reserves to protect against catastrophic issues such as a wildland fire where we need cash. We have reserves because we have deferred maintenance in the county, and we're building up our reserves so we can cash flow improvements to county facilities and work on deferred maintenance. And I use the analogy of you have a checking account and you have a savings account, and your checking account is how you live day by day, and that's how you pay the rent, and that's how you put food on the table. But if you start living depending on your savings account, and you start drawing on your savings account to pay for operating expenses, pretty soon that savings account is drawn too so far down that you run out, and then you have to change the way that you live. And one of the things that we could have to change the way that we operate, if that was the case, is we'd have to reduce our workforce in order to afford the cost of providing services to the county. And I don't want to recommend salary increases now which would turn and mean that we'd have to, years from now, we'd have to result in layoffs.
The county seemed like it was doing pretty well over the past couple of years with some budget surpluses, and then now y'all have some budget gaps over the past 2 years. What are some of the issues that contributed to those gaps over the past couple of years?
Sure. So for last year, there are a couple things. One, the county realized that we need to invest more in our jail healthcare system to the tune of $2.3 million. Another issue was Cayucas Fire Department. They were fiscally, they're running some fiscal hardships and with their ability to maintain service. So the county decided that they would take over those services, and that's going to run it to the tune of about $1 million a year. Not all of it comes from the general fund, but still a significant impact. In-home support services is another issue that we're facing, where there's an increase in the wage for in-home support services, and that's going to be another fiscal impact for the county. When you look at, and we're forecasting the future of where we think we're going to be fiscally for this next year, it's important that we take all these potential impacts and real impacts into account, and then to the ability that we know that we're going to be giving wage increases that we've negotiated with various unions, those can be budgeted in to the upcoming budget as well.
What do you anticipate from upcoming negotiations?
We have, I think, coming off of a strike, it's going to be a stressful, tenuous discussion, but I look forward to reaching an agreement. And one of the things that speaking to so many of employees, I've had the opportunity to hear their frustrations, and that certainly provides context as we head into these negotiations next year. I just want to conclude that we have great employees. They provide really important services to the community. They have a right to strike. I understand that, and I'm looking forward to healing the organization when this is when the strike's concluded, and we've got some work to do.
That was San Luis Obispo County Administrative Officer Wade Horton speaking about the county employee strike. This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Tyler Pratt. After speaking with Wade Horton, we met with a union member, Jenny Gustafson DeFore. She's program supervisor at San Luis Obispo County Behavior Health, and we invited her to the KCBX studios to discuss the financial difficulties she and her colleagues face, both working and living in San Luis Obispo County, and why she thinks the county is capable of offering more in wages and benefits to its employees. But first, we spent some time getting to know more about what it is she does for the county.
My job is to make sure that our clinic provides multiple levels of care for primarily Medi-Cal beneficiaries, so our lowest income citizens in the county. And we offer groups that provide treatment for those that may be struggling with addiction all the way up to the most intensive IV users. And it's crisis intervention as well as daily groups and individual therapy. We partner with mental health and public health and child welfare and probation and make sure we run as smoothly as possible to provide support for people trying to get healthier. So on the ground in the clinic, I'm managing people that are coming into routine scheduled groups as well as crisis or currently trying to stop using drugs or alcohol. And then my access team are licensed mental health professionals that are assessing people every day for the right level of care at 4 clinic locations throughout the county.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Love the work that you're doing.
Great. Excited too.
How long have you been doing it?
So I've been working for the county this time for 4 years. I worked for them for a year when I first moved from Minnesota to California. And I worked in prevention then. And because of similar issues, I ended up saying I can't afford to live in California in this county if I can't go up. Can I look for a promotion sometime in the next 6 months to a year? And we were on a hiring freeze at that point. So I left and worked for a for-profit company for a couple years. And then I came back in 2014. And I started doing intensive outpatient treatment and launching that level of care in the county. And then worked my way into an assessment coordinator and then a program supervisor 2 years ago.
If you don't mind me asking, what took you from the for-profit section back into public sector?
So I realized that no matter where I am, I usually do therapy. So I wanted to get licensed in California. And in order to do that, I needed to earn hours and get supervision. So I actually figured out I went through an agency and became a surrogate so I could make some money and be able to take a $15,000 pay cut to come back to the county so that I could become a licensed marriage and family therapist.
Got it.
I know there's not a ton of money in what we do.
Tell me a little bit about your decision to leave the first time. What's going through your head?
Sure. First and foremost, I loved the work I did. I connected with kids and youth that it was really preventative and trying to get them access to therapy and support for staying abstinent from drugs and alcohol or getting them support if they were currently using. It was great. Loved my supervisors, loved the system, but I couldn't survive. Couldn't pay my mortgage, couldn't pay my bills based on the income. And then the health benefits cost increased. And when I said, okay, I can make this work for another 6 months to a year, and then can I have an opportunity to promote, even make a few more cents an hour. And they said, we'd really love to do that for you, but we're not moving anybody for 1 to 3 years. I said, I can't survive on that. I have a kid myself, had just moved here and said, we got to do something different. So took this for-profit job because I have a business background as well as the marriage and family therapy. So went and used that for a little while and then figured out I don't like that. I want to come back and be a therapist.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're a member of SLOCIA.
I am. Have been since I came back 4 years ago.
Quickly, just tell me a little about the union in the county.
Sure. Yeah. My experience with the union has been pretty good. I signed up again when I came back to the county in 2014. We're notified of who our union rep is. I've used them to help grieve processes that I didn't feel were fair within the county and had a lot of representation there. There was pay parity last year and the year before where we weren't getting paid as much as mental health and haven't been for years. And that was part of how it was set up as far as licensure and what was required to provide those services on both sides of the house 15 years ago. But now we do the same job and we all are licensed therapists and we were getting paid less. So it's been something they've been trying to change for a decade, and supervisors and managers alike were trying to make it happen. And my fellow supervisors and I was finally at the top of the food chain where I could feel like it made a difference. So I got my union rep and met with our department heads, said, this isn't fair. And they said, you're right, it isn't, and we're trying. And thankfully, the people that have been in place management-wise for 30 years made it happen last year. So okay. We now get paid as much as mental health for the same job. But those kind of issues, it's nice to have a voice outside of your direct supervisor and manager to go talk to and say, what are my rights? How can I want to work and I want to serve this population, but this isn't fair and how do I change this? So they've been pretty responsive. They're very good about telling us when they're meeting and how they're meeting and what they're doing to advocate with the Board of Supervisors. So I feel like I'm kept in the loop. It's worth my union dues.
Great.
Yep.
And you said sign up. Is it a requirement that you sign up with this union when you join?
So, nope.
No,
it's voluntary.
It's optional. Mm-hmm. As far as you know, do most people in your field sign up with the union?
I thought there was more. I thought they knew that that was their right because I had a good onboarding team that told me that that was how we're represented with the Board of Supervisors. We have really good management in drug and alcohol, so and a really open flow of communication where you can get to the top pretty quickly if you have a complaint. So I think a lot of people don't feel like it's necessary to be part of the union, which I'm glad this potential strike is bringing to light why it's important to be part of that, because they have the same concerns that we do and don't have a voting say. So lots of people are more interested. I'd say probably 60-65% join the union, probably within drug and alcohol, maybe 50.
So your union has been in labor negotiations for a year.
Ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. It seems constant. Honestly, it seems like we go from one to the next. So we know that's part of the problem is we need to expedite the negotiation and resolution process because it shouldn't be that we're always spending time negotiating the same things. Get to it and get it done. This particular time has been over a year.
So it sounds like your frustration lies on both sides.
Yes.
The union and the county. So your union's been advocating for a 3% raise that would kick in, that should have been kicked in already for this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems one of the big issues for this strike that's coming up is that that did not happen,
mm-hmm.
and they're still arguing for it. So walk me through this. I mean, the year's already in play. It kind of seems
it's December.
Too late, right? Mm-hmm. It seems like that's not going to happen.
Nope, it's not. So my perspective is I've worked for the county for 4 years. I love what I do. I love who I work for. I love my management. And I don't want to have to leave because I can't afford to live. And when I started out. And 2 years later, I looked at from my hiring wage to what I was being paid after getting every step increase and every cost of living that was available, I made less money 2 years into working for the county than I did when they hired me because my health insurance cost and my pension contributions increased more than my raise. Where I was like, what are we doing? I'm getting more experienced. I'm getting licensed. I'm a leader in your clinics. I love what I do and I plan to stay with you. And yet the Board of Supervisors and the people making the decisions don't understand that they're taking money from me every year and making this less and less affordable. And one of my things that I told staff was, we know we're not going to be millionaires working for the county. That's not why we do this. But historically, counties have provided great benefits. You were supposed to be able to get awesome health insurance, medical, dental, vision for you and your family, and an awesome pension. And that was the trade-off. You got those things and they were super affordable because you invested in a social service-minded profession. And that's not happening. That's, we're being asked to live on nothing and live at a lower rate than similar counties. That's part of the other problem, is other counties are getting increases for the same work and we're not. And I don't understand the logic behind, we're in a pretty flush time. We've got some savings. Invest in retention. Invest in keeping your employees. I had an example of my case managers and some of my staff were getting food shelf donations for our clients. And they brought that information back to our treatment team. And three of my staff asked for that information so they could go to the food shelves themselves. That's where you get free food because you can't afford to get all of your groceries from the grocery store. So for me, it's, they come on with the county. They have to get their health benefits from the county when they're an employee. They don't get affordable care or Medi-Cal anymore. And because of that, they can't afford to live. They can't afford rent and food and what they need for their children. That we're right where our clients are. And what kind of life is that for someone who's investing all this time making lots of other people's lives better? That's the push right now, is all of that history. And I had staff do the same thing of, well, what's the point? Why are we striking now? Are we effective? And one of the things is just to prove to the Board of Supervisors that we can, that we can organize and demonstrate that this is unacceptable, that we want to do our jobs, that we want to serve our clientele, but we have to be able to survive to do so. And in hopes that going forward, they've already said they won't sit down until after the first of the year to discuss any of this, and that it will be for fiscal year 19-20. So none of what we're advocating for would even happen until our new fiscal year in July, which is kind of the trend with the county, is they spend so long negotiating and so long at the table that we end up getting these lump sum checks when they come to some kind of agreement as a, oh, sorry, we didn't do this sooner. But they're taxed at 40% because they're given in one lump sum like a bonus. And then, but we're not going to give you a cost of living increase for this year. So that was what we should have done 2 years ago. Here's your $300 check and it's taxed all to hell. And then we're also not going to give you what you want this year. It's just, it's really frustrating to feel like you never get validation for what you do and the compensation we deserve.
The county is saying that they're going to give you a 2% raise mm-hmm. next year. So you didn't get the 3. So basically they're saying over 2 years, you're going to get 2.5%. Well, you wanted 3% this year. Mm-hmm. Is that enough?
I'm glad it's something. And there are many people that work for me who are grateful just to be employed and have a pension and retirement. And that's some of their hesitation in wanting to strike. They don't want to piss off our employer. But no, it's not. When I look at historically over the last 5 years, you're giving 0.5% cost of living increases, 0.2, and then you come out with an announcement that your pension contribution is going to go up by 3%. That no, because we have more people retiring, we're going to have to continue to contribute to the pension. They're going to expect their pension is paid. So if you continue to give us just small portions of what we're asking for, there's a math behind it. We know what we need to, kind of like I was talking about with my first 2 years. The 3% will actually end up only being 1.5% increase because you're going to ask me to pay more into my pension because you have to support retiring people. So I understand a 0.5 difference doesn't seem like a lot to argue about, but when in the end, you're going to take most of that away from what I have to pay for my health insurance and to the pension contribution, which I support. I want to do that. Then no, you need to kick out more at the front. You need to give us more so that we can survive and maintain ourselves.
Y'all hired two independent investigators to go to look into the county, fact finders.
Yep.
And they found that the county could do the 3%. This is a big stickler.
True.
Your county is saying, yes, they could give you the raise, but then they're saying that they might have to do layoffs in a few years.
Yes, they could. I appreciate from a fiscal standpoint with a business background that with all the good heart that social services has, oftentimes we aren't fiscally minded to think of how things are sustainable. But this is a clear to me, you have savings, you have good, sustainable programs that are striving not to be grant funded, that are striving to be funded by reimbursable programs from the state or federal level. That's a really lame excuse not to contribute to retention at this point. Yes, you may have to do layoffs. That we know that that's part of it. But you also have hiring freezes. You've done it before, where you stop moving people, you stop offering increases, which is kind of why we are where we are. So perhaps we need to focus on keeping the talent we have and helping them promote and stay in jobs that they know how to do, rather than having significant turnover and the cost of hiring people is astronomical. And that's one of the things I brought back from for-profit. Hiring somebody costs $30,000. And that's a basic training program onboarding for 8 weeks. And that's not even saying they're going to be an expert or maintain your partnerships or know how to bill or do any of those pieces. So you're going to invest in hiring new folks at a portion of that cost rather than retain the ones you have that know how to bill and get the most reimbursement for you. It doesn't make fiscal sense. I think it's a very conservative, cautious standpoint to say we don't have enough to feel secure.
You're tuned to KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. You're listening to a conversation with Jenny Gustafson-DeFore, a SLO County employee and SLO SIA member. In part two of our conversation, she says another big issue on the table for SLO SIA members is health benefits. And she begins by explaining actions the county board recently took to change insurance providers.
They made a good decision last year to leave the PERS system. And because of the size of our county and the number of participants we have in various health plans, it didn't make sense for us. They couldn't offer us what we wanted. So they took a really proactive stance and got new providers on board for our health insurance, which was great. The problem is the county only contributes a portion to your health insurance cost, and that's only for individuals. But I get, I think, $625 a month towards my insurance cost. Great, thank you. Pay for my health insurance. The problem is I have a family that I also need to insure, and that doesn't cover my cost completely. So I still come out of pocket about $120 to $140 a month for myself. And to then insure my child or my spouse, I was shelling out $1,100 a month for the three of us to have health insurance after the cafeteria plan was already in place. And I'm going, I know health insurance for everybody is astronomical and that whole system needs a revamp. My thing is, last year I decided to opt out for my son and my husband because it was cheaper for me to buy insurance from Blue Shield for the two of them than it was for me to insure all three of us at the county. I saved $230 a month by exiting the plan. And the benefits, I thought, well, okay, we'll take a, it won't be the same network. It won't be the kind of coverage the county could offer. And that's what I'm sacrificing. And the truth is, no, it's comparable to what I get at the county. So what the hell am I doing? Why am I spending all this money if I'm not getting it in salary, if I'm not getting to see it and I'm supporting a pension right now that I may or may not be there when I'm ready to retire, then what am I getting for my health insurance cost? I appreciate the $625 or the $700. That's great. But then don't have the plans keep increasing in cost and lowering in coverage. When I have to go tell my employees, you have to pick a new plan that's going to cost you more and offer you less. So sorry. That doesn't feel good as a supervisor. And that doesn't feel good as a participant either.
Do you worry that this is a big sign of the times here? With the county, I mean, they did just come with this big affordable housing package yesterday.
They did, which I think is a great step. I'm hoping this demonstrates and they take seriously how we need to invest to make this an affordable place to live and work. I think I still have hope that we'll get there, because I do see more federal and state programming coming on board to support our lowest income populations. I think the middle class is experiencing this probably more intensely at this moment, but I'm hoping this is just a shift as we grow, that they have to understand this is part of where we need to head, or people will leave, that it's not an option. It's kind of poignant that it's happening at this time. I actually gave my notice 3 weeks ago. With a lot of thought, I've thought about this for 6 months, but one of our partner programs can offer me a part-time position at a greater wage, so that I can expand private practice and do more of what I need to do to afford college for my kid and what I need to do financially for my family. And it was a really hard decision to make. I'm leaving before my 5 years, which means I won't be tenured into the pension. I'm sacrificing a lot, but fiscally, I think it's the most important decision for my family. So that kind of loss, they've spent a lot of money and time training me and helping me promote within the county, and I can't do it. I have to do what's best for my family.
What do you think, in your opinion, the resolution here is?
The end result should be that we figure out a way to better work together. I really do. Because the people this hurts, that's what ticks me off the most, is while we're fighting about this, and although they're valid issues, I've got people who won't get the services they need come next week. I'm not in recovery myself. I don't know what heroin and meth feel like in your body, but I've seen a lot of horrific things. And for those folks to have to miss groups or support or counseling because we can't come to an agreement, at least in my little view of the world in the department, that's really a tragedy. And I've met Wade Horton. He spoke with our supervisor group a long time ago, prior to this. And I think he will head us in the right direction. I just wish we'd done this sooner. I hope the Board of Supervisors and SLOSIA can come to the table and come to agreements for the big issues, the cost of living increases and our pension contribution and health care. If you solve one of those and continue to actively work towards increasing and retaining your staff, we'll be happy. We can take a lot of that. We have for the last 5 years, and we'll continue to work together. I hope that's what happens from this, is everybody takes this seriously. That's the part that ticks me off, is feeling dismissed or unimportant and saying, well, you'll just take what we give you from the big head table and deal with it. And I know that's simplifying their process. I know there's a lot of people that care, but that's what it feels like, is anybody can do your job. So just do it for what we tell you to do it. And that's just not true. So I'm hoping some greater appreciation for what we do provide for the county and financially responding with something that makes sense. That's what I hope the resolution is.
Jenny, thank you so much for sitting down and talking
to
me.
You're welcome, Tyler. Thanks for having me.
That was Jenny Gustafson-DeFore, a county employee and SLOSIA member. Union members plan to strike this week over wages and benefits. KCBX News will keep you updated on any developments. Next week, we'll continue to hear viewpoints on the strike and affordability in the county. Supervisor Adam Hill will talk about the strike as well as the county's new affordable housing plan aimed at curbing some of the cost of living issues being faced in San Luis Obispo County. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio. With KCBX News, I'm Tyler Pratt.